Hello, welcome to today's survival show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life you want and to strengthen your resolve. You know, there's real power in having the ability to choose and having the ability to create options for yourself. So when things get tough, you don't have to panic and you've got different ways of conquering whatever happens to be coming your way. My name is Bob Main. You are listening to episode 6, and I have the pleasure of recording this from my home office in the Dallas area. So it's kind of nice to not be on the road for a change. Couple of thank yous I want to make before we start diving into our topic matter. The number of subscribers to our show and the number of listeners continues to grow. We've got over 100 new readers every day to the blog. We've got about 30 or 40 new listeners that have decided to download the podcasts lately, so that's really good to see. And we've got quite a few of those that actually have added it to their RSS reader and keeping up with things on a regular basis. So if you want a chance to do that, if you want to subscribe, it doesn't cost anything. Go to todayssurvival.com and you'll see a button there where it says subscribe in a reader. Let me give a brief introduction of the two topics that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about my assessment of what I think is going on out there. I'm going to kind of give you an overall view. And again, it's going to be my opinion. And for those of you who are not yet used to listening to me, you'll notice that I am going to inject my opinion in here from time to time. I'm also going to back it up with quite a few facts. If you don't agree with my opinion, that's perfectly okay. Just send me a comment either on the blog or go to our forum and send me a comment and have a good reason for stating your case. And I would actually like to talk about it. So I want this to be your show, not just mine. I want you to help create this show. So I welcome all kinds of comments. So that's going to be the first topic, is what's my assessment of what's going on out there. The second topic we're going to talk about is food storage. And when I get into food storage, we'll talk about why you should do it and what are some of the benefits, and then a little bit about how to do it. And I'll tell you what I have started doing and what I've started storing so that maybe you can learn a little bit from the examples that I'm doing. So before getting into those two topics, let's do a couple of brief announcements here. First of all, the website, www.todayssurvival.com. And if you want to join our forum and take advantage of like-minded people who get together on the internet and talk about how to live a more secure life, we would like you to join our forum. Just click the forum page on the website, or you can go to todayssurvival.com/forum. The sponsor of this show today is going to be a company called Knives and Gear. They have been a very loyal sponsor all the way from the first day that we launched the podcast, and actually since we started the blog. And Jeff Lytle up there in Oklahoma City has a real good company, and he sells more than just knives. He's got some good survival items, some good first aid kits that you might want to put in your emergency bag. So there'll be a link in today's show notes. Click on the link for Knives and Gear. Okay, that's it for the announcements. Pretty short. Let's dive right into it. Here's my assessment. You know, what we're dealing with out there, you know, this little thing called life, it's kind of like wrestling a gorilla. When you wrestle a gorilla, you don't quit when you're tired. You quit when the gorilla is tired. And, you know, life is kind of bouncing us around like a gorilla does. And that's what we're facing right now. You know, we got wars out there that are continuing to flare all over the world. It's frightening what's going on around there. You know, our financial market that used to be quiet and kind of predictable, as you know, the last 8-9 months just spinning out of control, mainly because of a bunch of pinheads in the government. And oh, by the way, we are going to have our pinheads and patriots. I'm actually going to call them numbskulls and noteworthy instead. I'm going to change it. You know, my dad, when I was a kid, he used to call me a numbskull quite a bit whenever I would do something stupid. So we're going to have numbskulls and notables, because there are many times that people do something that's very notable, and I want to, when somebody does something noteworthy, I want to point them out. So that'll be the third segment. So anyway, the financial markets used to be predictable. Now they're kind of out of control, or quite a bit out of control, because of the numbskulls in our government. And each month, we've got another industry, seems like every month there's some kind of a business or industry just crumbling to its knees and looking for bailouts, looking for some help. You know, our government just seems to be so addicted to spending money, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight to that. The national deficit, folks, is now at $1.2 trillion. $1.2 trillion. Let me take a side note here. I don't know if any of you read one of my earlier blog posts, but one of my posts asks you if you ever sat down and figured out how much $1 trillion is. Well, here's how you can put it into perspective how much $1 trillion is. If you were to count $1 every second, if you were to count $1 every second, it would take you 31,000 years to count to $1 trillion. 31,000 years counting $1 every second. And we are $1.2 trillion as a deficit. I think I might have said debt earlier. Let me correct that. Our national deficit, $1.2 trillion. It would take you well over 31,000 years just to count that much money. Good Lord, that is a huge amount of money. Give me a break. So, you know, all this healthcare business and all this debate about healthcare and you know, all the things that people are worried about, whether it's going to, you know, fund early end-of-life termination, or whether they're going to be rationing out healthcare, or, you know, whether the wrong people are going to be making health decisions and all that. You know, those are good discussions, and those are very valid concerns, but the cost of this healthcare bill, even after we've run up a deficit of $1.2 trillion, I mean, where does this insanity stop, folks? You know, so that's what's going on out there. I saw a news report yesterday that home foreclosures increased at a record pace last month. The housing crisis is far from over. We're going to see more foreclosures coming up later this year, early next year. But we hit a record. We hit a record in July. They didn't actually give the exact number, but and I'm going to look that up. I'm going to try to put something in the show notes today about what the actual number of the home foreclosures for July. So, you know, our society is kind of like this big ship taking on water, and the bilge pump's too small to handle it. It can't pump the water out fast enough. So what happens? The boat sinks. So are we in uncertain times? Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely an understatement that we're in uncertain times. But so where do we go? What do we do? Well, here's what I think the real question is. Do you have the critical life skills necessary to protect the people, the places, and the profits that you care about? What we do here at Today's Survival Show is we pretty much provide you with insurance. Insurance for living a more secure life. And your faith and your skills will generate for you more rewards than anything else will. Invest in yourself the greatest asset you have. I am 100% convinced, folks, you as a person will turn out a much greater return for yourself than any asset you can possibly get into. You show me an asset that will return to you more than yourself, more than educating yourself. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Just think about that one for a while. So where can you look to find the truth about what's going on? Well, right here, Today's Survival Show. And again, some of this is my opinion, but I'm also going to back up as much of this as I can with facts. You know, you can't look to the media. The media is not going to tell you the truth. You know, some of these people in the media who are these so-called experts, they're so inaccurate. They're so intellectually vacant. They have no morals. Their moral compass is way off. They're morally bankrupt. Their political agendas, it shows in everything they do. And folks, the media has political agendas both ways. They have liberal political agendas. They have conservative political agendas, and even somewhere in between. There just doesn't seem to be any neutrality hardly anywhere that you look in the news media. You know, there's such numbskulls wading in egos that are, their egos are kind of fanned by people that I call sheeple. sheeple. People that just believe whatever is told to them. And that's what kind of pumps up the egos of the people in the media. So they're way out of whack. And, you know, so then people think, well, what about our politicians? Yeah, right. You can't look to your politicians. Come on, don't even think about that option. You know, criminal irresponsibility is what you can add to the already long list of sins that they have. So I think we have kind of a renaissance right now of people starting to open their eyes for the first time, and they're seeking information that they can use to protect those things that they love. So it's my goal here at today's Survival Show to help you fill that void. And to show you that, you know, there is a better way. There's a better way to live than being dependent. And I don't mean just dependent on the government, but there's a whole system of doing things that, a whole system of delivering goods and services to us that we're far too dependent on it. You know, let's re-examine the last quarter of last year. We had this big concussion of financial unrest, and you know, the banks started failing and the whole financial system started to crumble. People panicked. I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you don't like the government we have, you know why we have it? Because people panicked. People didn't know what to do. Nobody was prepared for the financial downturn. So they panicked and they voted for people that they thought could give them the help that they needed. Well, are you satisfied with what you got? At today's Survival Show, we're here to help you get some peace of mind. This is a contemporary show. This is common sense topics. I'm real frustrated every time I hear those pinheads in the media talking about survivalists as being extreme people. We are not extreme. We're common sense people that are making common sense decisions. This is about practical techniques for real people like you and me, the people next door, and your relatives. This is Main Street USA stuff, folks. You know, this applies to everybody. It applies to you, your relatives, neighbors, soccer moms, students, people who are retired, bank presidents, athletes, convenience store clerks. I don't care what you do. This is common sense stuff that we're going to talk about, and it applies to you. So again, we're about being prepared for common disasters and taking realistic steps to solve them. Anything I've talked about right now, does any of this appeal to you, or does any of this apply? Well, then all I ask for you to do, if the answer is yes, give me 30 minutes a week. The fact that you're listening to this podcast, we've been going on for 12 minutes now, give me about another 20 minutes or so. And do this once a week. All I ask is 30 minutes a week, and if you listen to this show 30 minutes a week, I'm convinced that you're going to get something that you can start using right away to increase your peace of mind. And that's what I'm all about. I want this show to be a how-to resource. I don't want this to be a lot of fluff and puff. I don't want this to be a motivational rah-rah kind of session. Motivation's like a shower. You know, you have to take it every day or it wears off. That's not the way I want this to be. You know, my mentor taught me that getting to the basics and doing them every day, practicing things, doing ordinary things extraordinarily well, that's what makes people successful. So my mentor was a how-to type of a teacher, and that's kind of what I want to be, is I want to be a how-to guy. So that's kind of my assessment of what's going on out there. Now let's talk about one method that we can help to fight it. And that method I want to talk about is food storage. Now, when I talk about storing food with people, once again, those extremist antennas start popping up. Oh, you're just an extremist. You're one of those people waiting for the world to come into an end, and you're putting all this food away for no good reason. Really? Well, let's talk about why you should store some food. Yeah, there are extremists out there carrying the food storage thing too far. But let's talk about why. Let's talk about a common sense why. What if you lose your job? If you lose your job, money's going to be tight, right? Well, if you've got food stored, let's say you've got 60 days worth of food stored up. Well, if you lose your job now for 2 months, you don't have to worry about a grocery bill. That's one good reason. Another good reason for buying food is if you buy food today, you're paying today's prices. What if the prices go up? you've bought them at a lower price because you bought them ahead of time. And you've probably heard this before, but eat what you store and store what you eat. So store the things that you commonly are eating and then eat what you store. Now, if things are going pretty well, store food anyway. You know, you can always rotate that food. You know, let's say you've got 30 days worth of food. I suggest that you store the common things, the common foods that you eat every single day. You know, if you're too lazy one day to go to the grocery store, let's say you just don't feel like it and there's not much in the fridge, go to the food storage bin, pull some stuff out of the food storage bin and make it. Next time you go to the store, replace it. Make a little list of all the stuff that you take out of the bin, out of the storage bin, and then just replace it next time you go to the store. It's simple as that. So the convenience factor is another reason why. You know, not to mention a common disaster. If there's some kind of a weather disaster and it makes it too difficult to get to the grocery store, you know, you've got some food stored. You know, whatever disaster might happen, it's important that you start somewhere and start putting some things away. Now, let me tell you what I did. First of all, the first step in storing food is you have to create some space. Don't use the excuse, well, I don't have any room in my house to store food. Yes, you do. You got room. Okay, I thought we didn't have any room in my house either. I found a little bit of space, doesn't take much. I found a little bit of space in a guest bedroom closet, a guest bedroom that we're not using. And what I did is we've moved a few times in the last 7 years. So you know those big blue and green colored moving and storage bins, those big plastic, I think they're, some of them are made by Rubbermaid. You've probably seen them, these big, huge plastic bins that have a nice cover that go over the top of them. I use two of those right now. Okay, I got them packed full. I'm actually going to be bringing a third in. If you don't have any of these, you can get them at Walmart for like $15 a piece. Those make great storage, food storage bins. Find a space in your house where you can put a few of those and start putting food in there. I think it's important that you, first of all, find the place and then find the method and the container that you're going to store them in. Then remember that storing food is you're not getting it all at once. You know, the extremists, you know, they tend to go out and they buy all this exotic stuff. They buy everything at once. They've spent a couple thousand dollars, and then so they can say, hey, guess what? I got, you know, 6 months worth of food stored. Well, chances are they've purchased, if they've done it that way, they've purchased a lot of stuff that they don't need and they won't even like eating. So the most important thing is to start small. Set a goal. The first goal I want you to have is to put aside 2 weeks' worth of food. Every time you go to the grocery store, buy a little bit extra. Cut out something that week. Cut out some kind of an entertainment expense or something like that. And just buy a little extra. You know, buy two of everything when you typically buy one. Put one in your pantry or your refrigerator and put the other one in your storage bin if it's stuff that doesn't need to be refrigerated. Okay, set a goal of having 2 weeks worth of food. I bet you once you've got 2 weeks worth of food stored up, I bet you you're going to be in the top 50% of Americans. Because I bet you I could go through half the refrigerators in this country and I could find that most people don't have what they would eat in 2 weeks. I bet you they don't have that in their fridge or their pantry. I've seen a lot of empty refrigerators and pantries, and it's not because they can't afford it. It's because they just don't realize the importance of having it. Okay, let's talk about canned items. Canned items are great things to store. Now, you don't want to make everything in your storage a canned item. Some of it, though. Canned meats are good. Tuna and chicken. Canned vegetables, of course. I got lots of canned vegetables. I have a lot of canned peaches, pears, pineapple. My wife loves pineapple, so we have a lot of that. Applesauce. My son loves a lot of applesauce, and he likes those fruit cocktails. So we've got quite a few of those stored as well. But the canned items are a great place to start. With vegetables, you know, there's lots of good canned corn, beans, peas, canned tomatoes, carrots, yams, things like that. Don't forget about the stew, beef stew and chowder, chili. I got some real good organic chili. I have celiac disease, folks. Celiac disease means I'm allergic to wheat, so I've got to be very careful about what I store. Gluten is actually what I'm allergic to, so I have to be very careful. So I buy at a store here in Frisco near my house at a place called Sprouts. It's kind of one of those natural health food places. I find a lot of canned goods that don't have any gluten or wheat in them, and I store a lot of those. One of them is chili. They have excellent organic chili that doesn't have any gluten in it. You know, things like that. You can store ravioli, spaghetti, chow mein. You know, you may not eat gourmet meals if you had to live off your food storage, but you know what? At least you can eat. Let's think about that. At least you can eat. So set a goal, first of all, 2 weeks. The best thing is to get to 30 days worth of food as soon as you can. And remember I was talking about those storage bins? Probably if you do it right, you could fill up probably only about 3 or 4 of those, and you'd probably have enough to get you through 30 days, or pretty close. Pretty close. If you have an extra freezer, of course, the downside is you have to have power for that freezer to go, but still, you know, it might not be a situation where you're without power. You lose your job, you may still have power, you know. Hopefully you've also set aside some money. Hopefully you've also got an emergency fund so you can keep the power on, so you can keep paying the electric bill and the phone bill and so forth. You know, that's something that we talked about in a previous show, but hopefully you've done that. So your freezer, you know, if you get a chance, put some extra meat in the freezer. Put some extra stuff, breakfast food items and things that are frozen. Put those in there as well. I also like to store a lot of dehydrated items, pasta, spaghetti, macaroni and cheese. I love macaroni and cheese. Takes me back to my college days where that's all I did was live on macaroni and cheese and microwave lasagna. Remember that? Mashed potatoes, stuffing, soups, bread and muffin mixes. You know, store a lot. Those store well and they keep well. Fruits, you know, dried fruits, raisins, blueberries, you know, things like that. Beef jerky. I love keeping beef jerky in the storage. You know, beef jerky, I tell you what, you know, when you're hungry and you start eating beef jerky, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, when I start eating beef jerky, it takes away that hunger real quick. So I got a few packages of jerky because I love it. You know, again, we're talking about storing the things you like to eat. Canned juices like orange juice, cranberry juice, grape juice, apple juice. Pick one or two of those that you like and store some of that too. Powdered milk is a good thing to have. Don't forget about your staples, flour, sugar, powdered milk. I think I just mentioned that. Don't forget about storing salt and pepper and seasonings. You know, again, aside from what's already in your pantry, store some more of that too. Rice. You know, can't stress strongly enough, good organic rice. Again, because I have celiac disease, I have to be very careful about getting organic foods. And at the organic store that I shop at, they have excellent, excellent organic rice. And you know, the first time I tried that, boy, there's nothing that tastes as good when it comes to rice as just good organic white rice. It's awesome. A breakfast cereal, that stores pretty well. Baking soda stores pretty well. Vinegar stores pretty well. Cooking oil. Don't forget about those high-energy foods. Some of those high-energy snack bars. Those are good to have. Peanut butter and jelly. Let's not forget about good old peanut butter and jelly. And the jelly has to be refrigerated after it's first opened. But even peanut butter stores real well. Peanut butter sandwiches, you know, let's not forget about that. Those are the good old days where we sat down and ate peanut butter sandwiches for lunch, right? Well, I still eat tons of them. So does my son. Granola bars, trail mix, instant beverages like instant coffee, tea, instant cider, hot chocolate. For those of you who are listening to this show that live up north, I'm from Wisconsin. Okay? I'm a Yankee cheesehead from Wisconsin. We used to have hot chocolate almost every single day on cold winter days. So some of you who are listening to this show from colder climates, don't forget about the hot chocolate. I'll tell you, if you're in a survival situation where you're having to live off food storage, there's something about sitting down with a good cup of piping hot chocolate. Just seems like it's good for the soul, doesn't it? Vitamins. Don't forget to be storing some vitamins. Vitamins keep real well. You know, I've kept vitamins for a long time. I take a multivitamin that I actually buy at my health club, And I got a couple extra bottles of vitamins in my food storage bins. Also, it's important if you have kids, if you have infants, make sure you have some special diet foods for the babies. If you have elderly or diabetic people or people with allergies, make sure that you got supplies for those people as well. Also, have some painkillers like Tylenol, just some over-the-counter stuff like Tylenol, aspirin, Aleve. Those go a long way if you're in a survival situation. You know, I'm sure if you listen to one of the other episodes, you've probably gone out and got your first aid kit already, correct? If not, get a simple first aid kit. I don't care if it's a $10 first aid kit. It's something. As long as you've got something. Okay? A can opener. Here's something very important. A can opener. A manual can opener. I bought an extra manual crank-type can opener for $5. Okay? What if you don't have any power? If you have no power, you can't run your electric can openers. A whole lot easier if you can just whip out a manual can opener and open those things up. So don't forget something as simple as that. Scissors, knives, of course, good things to have in your storage bin as well. Flashlight, batteries, paper plates. Makes it a lot easier if you're in a survival situation or you're in a situation where you got to live off your food storage. You probably have a lot of other things going on in your life that are stressing you out and things are intense. You know, the less dishes you have to do in that situation, the better off you're going to be. So keep paper plates, paper cups, those plastic utensils, and lots of trash bags. Oh, by the way, trash bags, big black trash bags. There's all kinds of uses for those. In another show, I'm going to talk about why you should have a lot of those big garbage bags in your emergency travel bag and also in your bug out bag. There's a lot of good uses for those, and we'll talk about those. If you have pets, keep some extra pet supplies, some pet shampoo or whatever, and also keep some extra cleaning supplies. You know, keep some extra dish soap, some extra bathroom cleaners, alcohol-based hand cleaners, stuff like that. Just a few extra cleanup items doesn't hurt to store. Also, if you're in a survival type situation, you know, those are the kinds of things that can be very expensive. And if you're out of work or something like that, and money is tight, if you've got extra cleaning supplies and things, you'll be happy you did, because those things can be very expensive to go purchase. Okay, another thing to remember, as you bring things home and you put them in your storage bin, write the purchase date on the top of the item with a permanent marker so that you know what date you purchased them, so you know about how old they are and you'll know when to rotate them. I use an area in my house, as I mentioned to you, it's in a guest bedroom, so the temperature is relatively constant, the humidity level is relatively constant. It's a very climate-controlled area. I would not recommend storing a bunch of this stuff in your garage. You know, keep it in the same environment that your pantry's in. You know, but write that purchase date on the top. Rotating your stock is very important. You know, every once in a while, even if you're not in a survival situation, rotate your food storage stock anyway. After a while, go take some stuff out of storage, write down what you took out so you know what to buy the next time you go to the grocery store to replace it. You know, it's some of the things that need to be rotated probably every 6 months. You know, if you buy any dried fruits or crackers or cooking oil or nuts or powdered milk and potatoes, rotate those at least every 6 months. You know, canned meats, they'll probably keep real well for a year. Canned meats and vegetables and fruits and fruit juices and things like that. But I'd say I'd probably put those on the 6 month rotation as well. There are some foods that can be stored almost indefinitely, you know, if they're in the proper containers. And the conditions are good. You know, wheat, corn, baking powder, sugar, salt, you know, white rice, that kind of stuff. Most of those can keep for a real long time, but I'm just not a big fan of keeping things indefinitely. I'm a big fan of rotating. Rotating, rotating, rotating. That's the key, so that it's always relatively fresh. Okay, so by now you might be wondering, well, how much of this stuff should I be storing? Well, earlier I mentioned have a goal to get pretty quickly to a 30-day level of food storage. I would say 60 days is ideal. So, you know, that's up to you. Every family's different. There's only 3 people in my family. So it doesn't take much to sustain us for 30 days. You know, earlier this year my wife was in the hospital for 22 days. And my son and I, we ate off of just what was in the fridge and the pantry for 22 days. You know, just me and my son. It's amazing. You know, you can get real creative with stuff that's already in your pantry. I didn't feel like shopping, and I was under a lot of stress because my wife was in the hospital for a little over 3 weeks. And, you know, the stress of that, I just didn't feel like doing much shopping, and I didn't want to drop a whole lot of money. I was trying to be smart with the money and not go out to eat all the time. So for 22 days, we ate just what was in our fridge and our pantry. So you can be real smart about it, but you have to kind of estimate what you and your family consume. You know, in a survival situation, you're probably going to be under stress anyway. You may not actually eat as much as you think because you're going to be busy doing a whole lot of things, but you just need enough to sustain you for a couple of months. So canned meat, I would have at least 3 or 4 cans of that, you know, 6 large cans of vegetables, you know, 6 or 7 of those large fruit cans. I would have a bunch of spaghetti, you know, packages of spaghetti. I'd probably have, you know, 7 or 8 packages of spaghetti, several boxes of cereal, you know, at least 5-6 boxes of cereal, a bunch of that canned milk. Get some of those big 12-ounce cans of canned milk. Have 2 or 3 of those. Have 6 or 7 of those real large canned juice bottles. Start with at least about, I'd say, 10 gallons of water. You know, it's really important to be storing water. Now, let me take a side note here about storing water. I keep water in all my vehicles. All my vehicles have at least 1 and sometimes 2 cases of bottled water in them. You know, in a pinch, those cases of bottled water can help. But you also have to have other means of storing water. In another show, we're going to talk specifically about storing water. The simple thing to remember about water is water doesn't go bad unless there was something in it in the beginning to make it go bad. You know, if there was some kind of a parasite, if it's contaminated with something from the beginning, well, yeah, then it'll go bad. But there's water purification tablets you can buy, and you know, you can boil water before you store it and things like that. You have 10 gallons of water, you know, maybe 15 gallons of water. It can't hurt. That's, people overlook that. Water's a big deal. But again, it's hard for me to tell you exactly how much you have to get of everything, because you've actually got to just figure out what do you consume. But again, set that goal of getting to 60 days worth of food storage as soon as you can. Even if you can only budget an extra $10 a week, let's say $10 a week, you'd be amazed. If every week you spend an extra 10 bucks, it's not going to take you that long to get to 30 days worth of food storage. My budget happened to be about $25 a week. When we started storing food, we started putting away $25 a week. It actually grew. We actually found room. We cut out a few other things in our budget and found room to spend about an extra $40 a week. So $40 a week, $160 a month, above and beyond what we normally spend on our grocery bill, now goes into the storage area. And see, that's the way to do it, is to start small. I do want to point out that the larger quantities that you're buying, the better deals you can take advantage. So some of these food storage items that you know you're gonna like and that you know you're going to use, buy them in as large of quantity as you can afford, because you typically get better deals in buying in large quantity. Have you ever noticed that the food stores, grocery stores, wherever, they like to put the items on sale that are in big quantity, especially if you go to a place like Sam's Club where you have to buy in large quantities? Usually that's where you can get the best deal. So use a lot of those items for your storage facility. And speaking of sales, watch out for expiration dates. There are some stores out there that like to put things on sale that are about ready to expire. You know, canned goods, this isn't going to be a big problem. But some of these foods that come in boxes and things, they have expiration dates. Watch that. You know, not all foods go bad on that date, but it's a good thing to hedge your bet and buy foods with expiration dates that are as far out as you possibly can. Okay, and with that, I think I've given you some pretty good ideas on food storage, and I want to be respectful of your time. So let's move into the next segment of this show, and that is the numbskulls and notables section. Numbskulls or pinheads. You know, the other day here on Local Dallas News, I heard a story about a Continental Airlines jet, and I think it was up in Minnesota. I don't know if you heard this story or not, but there was a Continental commuter jet that left passengers on board for about 6 hours. I guess they had some mechanical problems or whatever, and people were stuck on this small plane. And, you know, I fly a lot. I've been stuck on planes, not quite 6 hours, but I've been stuck on planes. You know, they were on the tarmac, and I guess they were in there for 6 hours. It's an unpleasant experience. Well, because of that, there's been a resurgence in this passenger's bill of rights. And I guess that the United States Congress has been taking up the prospect of a passenger's bill of rights for a long time, an airline passenger bill of rights. I don't disagree with that. I think it's okay that we have a passenger bill of rights. I don't see any major problems with that as long as they don't overdo it. But here's the numbskull I want to talk about. They interviewed a local Dallas resident. And I guess he was somebody that was on that plane. I think the plane was going from Minnesota down to Houston and then changing planes, coming to Dallas, whatever. Anyway, this guy was on the plane. And he's on the news, and he says something like, you know, I think this is ridiculous that I was caught on this airplane and stuck on here for 6 hours. And he says, you know, all these big corporations that are making all this money, you know, who's looking out for us? That was his comment. You know, he was complaining that all these big airline corporations making a bunch of money aren't looking out for him. Well, wait a minute now. Aren't most of these airlines in financial trouble? What big airline corporation making tons of money? Continental Airlines? I don't think that they're making tons of money. Last I heard about the only profitable airline that seems to make money every quarter is Southwest Airlines, because they're a very well-run company. Many of these airlines, if they're not in bankruptcy, they're inches away from it, or they're just now coming out of bankruptcy, but they're not raking in tons of cash. So you numbskull, I didn't catch the guy's name, but, you know, he's a sheep. He's a guy that is being fed the lie that all these big corporations in America are out there ripping off consumers and not taking care of consumers. Yeah, there is some of that, but, you know, come on. Maybe this guy needs to think a little bit before making a stupid statement like all these airlines that are making all this money, because they're not. So he gets the Pinhead of the Day, the Today's Survival Show Pinhead of the Day Award. I wish I would have caught the guy's name. But anyway, you know, I don't want to – I guess it's probably not a good thing to embarrass him too much. And then I want to talk about a notable. I want to talk about somebody who is what I call a patriot. You know, you've seen all these town hall meetings out there and these people getting pretty upset about what the government's trying to do with health care. Well, there's a lady named Katie Abrams, and she was on the national news the other day. Katie Abrams, she went to a town hall meeting put on by Senator Arlen Specter, the great Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania. And Arlen Specter had a town hall meeting going on, and she was standing up and she was talking pretty frankly from the heart about her concerns. She wasn't getting angry. She wasn't getting, you know, out of control. Some of these people that are at these town hall meetings, folks, settle down. Come on, this anger and shouting. I've seen some news articles about people getting violent, pushing and shoving and getting physical. Folks, it's okay to protest, but, you know, that's not going to do you any good. How many friends are you going to win, and how many people are you going to influence by getting violent? But Katie Abrams was not. She was very reserved, and she was simply stating her concern. And I got to give Senator Arlen Specter credit. You know, he didn't lash back. He just stood there, and he listened, and he was very polite. The numbskull is some guy called Katie Abrams, and she doesn't know how this person got her phone number, and called her up and started calling her a racist on the phone. Now, you know, what's America coming to? You know, first of all, Katie Abrams didn't say anything about race. Healthcare has absolutely nothing to do about race, you numbskulls. So what's this guy doing, calling her up, threatening her, calling her a racist? What a jerk. The guy's a jerk, and the guy's a numbskull. Okay? Katie Abrams, you are the patriot. You are the person that gets the notable award from today's survival show. Okay, so that's my numbskulls and notables segment, and I think with that, I'm pretty much going to kind of wrap it up. So I hope that you've picked up something about my opinion as to what's going on out there, some food storage, and hopefully you've now on your way to putting some things aside and preparing for that rainy day. So this is Bob Main. This has been another episode of today's Survival Show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live the life you want and strengthen your resolve. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.